I'm well indeed. It feels like it's been forever since we last recorded.
It's because it has, for some random reason.
Yeah.
Well, I know why.
Why?
Because I went through a depressive patch.
Oh.
Where I was just sad all the time.
I think we both did, actually.
Yeah.
I feel like that happens really, really often lately for me. I don't know why.
Me too. And I don't know why.
Yeah. I feel like we've experienced a lot of highs with the podcast the last few weeks. But with that in personal life, they've come like random lows.
Very low.
Yeah.
For me anyway. I can say that for myself. I was like really sad for a few weeks. But I feel like I'm on the up and up.
Me too. Yeah. I feel like that's the way life goes sometimes. It's like the roller coaster.
The roller coasters of life. But you know what I like, though, is that we just so happen to go through those at the same time.
Yes, I agree. I did like that this time, yes. Because sometimes when it's one of us, it's good because like, the one kind of lifts us up.
Yes.
But then like this time it was like, oh, let's go. We just both feel a bit funky.
I'd message you and I'd be like, I'm sad today. And you'd be like, me too. Mm. And we're both like, eh. And then that's it.
Yeah, we're like, eh. Yeah. We had this day last week where we were like, oh, we should probably record. And then we're like, we need to ground ourselves a little bit. So we went outside and just had lunch on like the little steps outside of Elle's place. And the sun beamed on our heads and it just felt so nice.
Yeah, it kind of woke me up from what felt like a coma.
Yeah, I felt like I think it was just a few, like the last, maybe like a seasonal feeling, but like the last couple weeks have felt a bit like an out-of-body experience, but not in a, like, a exciting way. Like, more in, like, in a watching myself being like, what is the point of anything?
Yeah, what is the point right now?
Yeah.
It felt like I was in, like, autopilot.
Yeah.
Someone else took the wheel, then it was not me, and I was just doing things to get through. That's what it was.
So true.
But how good was it sitting in the sun, though?
It was so nice. Honestly, so nice.
It's amazing what fresh air and sunlight can do.
Vitamin D, really. You'd be surprised how many people are, like, deficient in vitamin D.
I'm deficient.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I'm very deficient.
I feel like it's making me really excited that we're, like, hitting summer at the moment. Like, it's slowly linking into summer.
Yeah.
It just feels like the smell is in the air.
The smelly smell of summer is arise. Yes. On the rise. But you know what summer always reminds me of?
Oh, what?
The drought.
Dude, the drought
of Australia.
Every time I hear the word drought, I think of like 2001 and I think of John Howard. Like, I literally, the three things just like collide into my brain.
Oh my God. Do you remember how scary the drought was when we were kids?
You're saying when we were kids, do you know I only found out that the drought was no longer a thing we had to worry about? Like, we're not in the drought anymore. In 2020, I found that out, that it was finished years before
that. Yikes, Elle.
I know.
Yikes.
So every time I was like living with my best friend at the time and I was like, where? I'm like, yeah, I have to have a pretty quick shower, I guess, today. Blah, 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 blah.
4 minute showers. 4 minute showers.
And she was like, what are you talking about? I'm like, the drought. And she was like, Elle, the drought stopped so long ago.
I was like, the drought is over.
I just remember like going on family road trips and we'd drive past like a little
the dams
and mum and dad would be like, see?
Look at the line.
Look, it's the line. You can tell where it used to be and where it is now. Yeah. And I'd be like, oh my god,
we're all gonna die.
My God, I was just imagining myself parched from water. Not that I ever drink water. But like me as SpongeBob, like water.
That was Australia.
Yeah.
Water.
It felt so, like, obviously it was very serious, but it felt real serious.
It I remember the days that we couldn't have barbecues.
Oh, yeah.
Because of the, what are they called?
Fire hazards.
Fire hazard days.
What are they called? Bushfires.
No. There's like fire ban days where you can't have barbecues.
Oh, because they were too hot, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember those.
And us being like, no, we
not
can't
today.
We can't have a barbecue.
But what about Bunnings? I feel like, I feel like primary school, there was so much happening.
So many, like, at least like, when very we were in primary scary school. Things.
I was in primary school from the year 2000 to the year 2006.
Yeah.
Can I tell you, so much happened in that period of time.
I know.
The drought, obviously.
The drought.
The Twin Towers happened.
Oh, yeah.
The tsunami that hit, all of Asia.
Yeah.
This was all by the time I was, like, eight. I was like,
oh, my God. What a scary world that we live
in.
Yeah. I remember when the plane crashed into, like, when everything happened on 9/11.
Yeah.
I remember watching it on the news and thinking to myself, this is it.
Yeah.
Like, the world as I know it is over. And I was six years old at the time.
Yeah, because I was six as well. I was like, I remember where I was. I was watching
it. Yeah, me too. In my parents' bedroom on the TV. And I was like, my mum was crying. Yeah. I remember all of it.
Yeah, I remember it so well. And going to school and everyone at school talking about it and us all being so confused. That's the same as the tsunami. I remember watching that on TV and seeing like the videos of like the giant tidal wave, and I think I had more of that feeling then because I was like, whoa, like what the hell. My GP at the time, his wife actually died in it. Yeah, so like she was on going back to the visit family, I think, and like
are you serious?
Yeah, so I think that's, it really took a toll on me that like obviously it didn't happen in Australia, but like watching it on the news and knowing that someone had put, like, it felt, it was, I think it was the first time something felt very real that wasn't in Australia.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It was really sad. Like, we had to stop seeing, he literally couldn't like continue his work. He was really sad.
Oh my God.
Obviously. Yeah. It was really sad.
That's actually crazy. I was not expecting that.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
It was massive. The tidal wave was huge. Yeah. Like, it's insane.
Shall we move on to formalities?
Mm-hmm.
Great. So what we like to do on the podcast is talk about what was number one in music history this week. Now, I've got some doozies, and they're pretty good this week. I like these ones. In 1984, What's Love Got to Do With It by Tina Turner was number one.
Think of Will and Grace every time when Jack says, What's love?
Scat to do with it. Yeah. Yes. Man, this was actually her comeback song.
Who was it?
She was really big with her husband Ike Turner, obviously, hence the name Tina Turner. But after she had split with Ike and she had gone through all those years of, like, you know, drugs and abuse and stuff, her comeback song, and it's after this song, is what gave her her iconic name, Tina Turner. Now she became the lady that she is now.
Wow.
Yeah. So yeah, it's pretty cool. It's basically just a song about having a relationship that's mostly physical.
Yeah.
And not caring about the love aspect at all.
Yeah, like, what's it got to do
with it? What's it got to do?
Yeah.
What's love got to do with it? And how it's an old-fashioned notion.
Old-fashioned notion.
Mm-hmm.
What's love?
Okay.
Fair. Interesting views, Tina Turner.
Well, I mean, like, I don't think she wrote it.
Yeah. Oh. Yep. I feel like a lot of people that were big name artists that you hear the name and you're like, you know that they're a star. I feel like majority of them, some of the ones that you'd expect to have written their own music don't, like her, Whitney, Elvis.
Yeah, well, that kind of falls into this article that I've read once, and it's like, what's the difference between like a singer and an artist?
Ah, yes.
You know, do they fall under like, oh, the best singer of all time or the best artist of all time?
Yeah.
One writes their music, comes up with the actual music itself, like,
yeah,
you know, sings it, blah blah blah, does like the whole package, whereas one person just shows up and sings it.
Very true.
In 1994, I'll Make Love to You by Boyz II Men was number one.
Another great song by Boyz II Men.
Fantastic.
This song was actually written by the same guy as End of the Road, Babyface. And Boyz II Men didn't actually like this, like, they liked the song, but they found that it was too similar to End of the Road, and they were like, oh, do we want another song that's basically just like a replica of the other song? And the label basically just ignored them completely and was like, no, we're still putting it out.
Well, good thing that they did, because this is like their biggest song ever.
Yeah, it was their number one song for 14 in the US, 14 weeks in a row.
Wow.
Yes. And was only taken over by their song with Mariah. Like, that record was taken over by the song with Mariah Carey that I think was for about 16 weeks or so. Which is
Wow.
Yeah. One Sweet Day.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a sad song.
Mm.
That's a very sad song. I think it's about, like, losing people and seeing them again.
There was a lot of songs like that, like, in that time.
In 2006, London Bridge by Fergie was number one. How come every time you come around my London Bridge? This was her first single as a solo artist.
I remember.
Mm-hmm. Go Fergie. And then she had some iconic hits like Fergalicious
and Glamorous.
Glamorous GL.
Clumsy cause I'm falling in
love.
Yeah, she actually, I really, really enjoyed Fergie. Oh, Big Girls Don't Cry, how could I forget?
I didn't really like that one.
But it was overplayed, that's why I didn't like it. I like it more as an adult now.
Yeah.
Than I did when I was
like, I haven't heard it.
Teeny popper.
I haven't heard it in years besides us singing it on the podcast because I feel like it comes up a lot.
Mm, it does come up a lot.
She actually got her start on a TV show. Did you know that?
Well, which one?
It's called Kids Incorporated. It was on Disney. And basically what they would do, it's a group of kids that sing songs, and then in between the performances, they solve problems.
Oh.
So cute.
That's so cute.
If you look at the picture of her, she's so young. Aww. She's actually adorable in it.
I need to watch this.
Oh my God. Yeah, I think it was on Disney.
Nice.
Yeah, it's like the Mickey Mouse. No, I was going to say Clubhouse. That's not the...
Oh, like the Britney Spears, Justin Timberlake, Mickey Mouse.
Ryan Gosling, I think. And
Christina Aguilera.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, bless her.
Yeah.
That sounds cool.
I know.
Was she in a girl band as well? I feel like she was. I feel like
I think she went, according to this, I think she
went. Unless that's the video picture I saw of her the other day.
It said Fergie's first single as a solo artist. She got her start on the TV show Kids Incorporated and then later joined the Black Eyed Peas.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dude, she was great on Black Eyed Peas.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it, like, I like this. Like, if I wanted to see them live again, I feel like I need her there.
Was she not there last time? She's the one that sings most of the songs.
I don't think she's really there. I don't think they tour with her. What's the point? I don't think they tour with her. I haven't, like, I was meant to go another time. I think they came for R&B Fridays, but I didn't go. And I think they're coming for R&B Fridays this time.
And Fergie's not coming?
Well, the pictures never show her face. Like,
that's really sad.
Things. Yeah.
I see, when I picture bands like that or groups, I want them all to be best friends.
Yes, and stay together.
And a lot of the time,
they're
not.
She's got a family, like, she does, like, she's got her own, like, thing now. It'd be hard to tour with the will.i.am.
Yeah. Oh, she had that MILF song.
Yes,
I remember that. That had, who was in the music video? Kim Kardashian.
Yes.
And Chrissy Teigen. Is that her name?
Oh, I like Chrissy Teigen.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was quick. Okay. What we like to do now is talk about a musician's birthday.
Ooh,
so basically, we'll tell you a musician's birthday and you tell us whether you share that birthday.
Mm.
If you were born on the 2nd of February...
Yep.
You share a birthday with Shakira. Shakira.
Ooh, she's an Aquarius. Yes. Very cool.
I guess so.
Nice.
I don't know my way around things that much, but yes.
She is, like moi.
Ah, lovely.
Nice. That's so cool.
Man, she's only 46.
That makes sense.
Because I thought, I remember back, I thought she was big in the, was she not big in the 90s?
Nah, I feel like Shakira came out like 2000, 2001-ish.
Okay, that makes sense. She must have been very young.
Yeah. I feel like she was very young. She's, I was obsessed with Shakira.
Yeah, me too.
Obsessed. Her song, like, there's a song that she has, like, Tango.
Yeah.
Song, I was, like, all for it.
Yeah.
And Underneath Your Clothes, all for that song. I freaking love that song.
Well, I liked, like, her hits.
Yeah.
Like, wherever, run to me together, I'll be there and you'll be near. I remember hearing it on a road trip that I was doing with my parents and thinking, my God, this song is amazing.
Mm.
I don't even know how old I would have been when it came out.
Do you know what I loved? Remember when she did that song with Beyonce? Shakira.
Oh, was it? No. That's
Beautiful Liars is
Beautiful
the song.
Lies, yeah. Beautiful Lies.
And I remember in the music video, they did it so well where it kind of looks like they're the same person. Half, like, it kind of switches in between and you're like, whoa, you, like, they're two of the most beautiful, most iconic women ever.
I know.
I was obsessed with watching that movie.
Does she have a song about a wolf?
Ah, She Wolf.
She Wolf? Or something like that?
I feel like when Hips Don't Lie came out, that's when like the world was like, okay, we are obsessed with Shakira.
Yes. But how can you not be?
It makes me really sad that I think it's, I don't know much about it, but I've seen on TikTok and stuff that her, like, she's recently getting divorced and her partner, like, and everyone, like, there's literally so many videos of people like, if it's happened to Shakira, it can happen to anyone.
It happened to anyone.
But exactly, it's got nothing to, at the end of the day, it's got like nothing to do with like how, like, it's got to do with the other person, I suppose.
It's got
the
person that did the act, not the person that,
but wow,
the victim.
But like, if even me as a completely straight woman, if I got the chance to be with Shakira, I'd be with Shakira. Like,
well, obviously you'd be an idiot not to be.
Exactly. Like, oh gosh. But yes, she Shakira, seems like a lovely lady.
She seems very nice.
Yes.
We love you, Shakira.
Love ya.
You're beautiful. You're beautiful.
It's true.
It's true. Okay, shall we move on to the episode?
Yes.
We have a great guest for this episode.
We do.
Her name is Veronica. She is from the band called Dolce Blue.
From Perth.
From Perth.
I'm very, very excited for you guys to listen to the episode. Very, very down to earth and loves her cat.
I love that she was actually doing her recording her part of the episode outside. So we were talking to her while she was in nature, and her cat was just like walking past, and her tail would like walk go past her face. was very cute. It was so great getting to know Veronica and how she starred Dolce Blue. They had a sophomore album released in June, and their album was called Sweet Melancholy.
Such a great name. Honestly, really still great name. I keep thinking about it. I'm like, it is such a good name. Just perfectly aligns. It's like the bittersweet, but in a perfect way.
Yeah.
I think it's my preferred version of saying bittersweet now.
Yeah, but a lot of the reasoning behind their name choices is got something to do with bittersweet or some sort of melancholiness, because Dolce Blue.
Yeah. Dolce meant like sweet.
Yeah, like sweet, and then blues, like the blues.
Yeah.
So, oh, so good.
It's such a smart idea. I really love the consistent theme throughout. Yeah.
Okay, but before we get to Veronica, we must ask a few things. Now, if you could please follow us on Patreon.
Please.
That would be lovely. And also, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast.
That would be helpful.
Very helpful indeed.
If you're liking what you're hearing, please rate us a 5 out of 5.
Oh, that would be lovely. Okay, we'll be right back with Veronica. We've been so excited for this interview because we seriously love Dolce Blue.
And your voice, may we
your
say.
Your voice is magnificent.
Aww. Yes, it's like literally very different to what you like usually hear, and it's like there's something special about it.
Something really special.
Yeah. Aw, thank you. That's so sweet.
No, of course.
No, of course. We would love to know how you got your start in music.
Yeah, so I am very fortunate that I grew up in a musical family. So my dad is a musician, music teacher, and my mum also used to play music, and that's actually how my parents met. So,
oh, how gorgeous.
Music has been everything. Music is the reason I am here. So I've grown up with, my parents playing instruments, playing lots of music around me, and was very fortunate that I had instruments and all of that kind of freedom at my disposal to get started within music. So it's always been something I've done. I can't really pick a point when I wasn't playing music, but I think it was in high school I started taking it a bit more serious and wanted to start forming a band and start, you know, turning all the songs I'd written into something that people can listen to.
I know that you were friends with your bandmates in school. Tell us about your bandmates.
They're the three best guys I have ever met. They're just such sweeties. So the three of them actually all went to primary school together. So they've known each other since about like year two.
Wow. How amazing is that?
I know. They've literally like grown up together. They're essentially like brothers. So they've all known each other for ages. And then it wasn't until I started at their high school in year 11, I changed schools, and we were in a music class with me, the drummer Brody and the guitarist Lockie. All three of us were in a music class, and our music teacher was kind of like, you all play instruments well, like Veronica writes songs, you're a band now, like go to the rehearsal room and start jamming. Yeah, that's how I got introduced to the guys, I guess. And then we all just really enjoyed it. Like, we'd just do lunchtime concerts and like any kind of local Kalamunda community event that we could, and just really enjoyed playing music. So we kept doing it after school finished. And it was around that time when our guitar, well, at the time it was the bassist, Lockie, was like, I don't want to play bass anymore. I want to play guitar. Can we get another bass player? And then they were both like, what about Daniel? Like, he's good friends with us. He can learn how to play bass. Keep in mind, he'd never played bass before.
Also, he had like no background. Learn bass.
No.
I love
it. He had background in music. So he played like drums, French horn, like. Ooh, he knew
this
music.
Is so School of Rock, where it's like, you just got to do this.
I know.
Yes.
That's right.
Oh, that's so fun.
That's essentially what happened. Like, Lockie's like, all right, Lockie and Brody were like, we'll get Daniel in. We'll teach him the songs. And then Lockie turns around and is like, oh, by the way, like, I've entered us in a battle of the bands in a couple of weeks.
Okay, this is so School of Rock. Oh, my God, this is so fun.
Was your music teacher Blackjack?
Jack Black.
Jack Black. Holy moly. Jack Black,
yes,
by any chance.
Absolutely. No.
That's so cool.
Or Schneeble.
Yeah.
That's so cool. So you did Battle of the Bands?
Yeah, so we did that. At this point, we're probably like, it was a year or two out of school, so it wasn't really like School of Rock, but had the same vibe. We did the Battle of the Bands, and I just remember poor Daniel, like, he only knew probably like half, maybe three quarters of our set. So he would like go and sit to the side for some songs. So like Lucky or I would play bass. But it was really funny. And we ended up like coming second, which was ridiculous considering we never
Do you never know how many competed?
There was quite a few. I can't remember off the top of my head. This was like back in 2018, so a while ago.
Insane.
But that is amazing.
Yeah.
Holy moly. It was awesome. And it was really, I think, important that happened because it like gave us the confidence to be like, oh, we actually can do this. Like people like us. And also like the prize gave us like merch printing, like studio time, like all of the stuff that meant that we could actually get like a foot in to start doing it.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I could just imagine the feeling when you guys found out that you came second, like, wow, this could really be a thing. Yeah. Like, I imagine, is that the feeling that you had?
Yeah, exactly. Particularly because, like, we'd all just finished school and, like, all the guys were in uni and they were, like, you know, one was doing law, one was doing engineering, one was doing, like, computer science. And I was, like, they all got their careers laid out for them. But then after that, they're like, oh, we should actually do this more. I really enjoy doing this. And we could actually do something with it. So, yeah.
Oh, my God. Cut to That's how so many awesome. Years later, you've got your second album out.
Tell us about how, like, Dolce Blue, like, the name started. Because I know that, like, it's kind of, like, similar to the next album title. Like, it's got to do with, like, sweetness and melancholy. But, like, how did you guys form that?
Yeah, I think I definitely came up with the name and kind of was like, this is what we're called now.
Yeah. It's a great name. Yeah. Oh, thank you.
I love the whole idea of it because it's like, I have a background, like my grandparents or my parents are Italian. So I wanted it to have a bit of that incorporated in it, a bit of my like heritage. So Dolce in Italian is sweet and blue. It's just a beautiful color.
Yeah. And
I'd love to say, I'd love to say it's original, but I actually heard it in a Lana Del Rey song and that's where it came from. So,
which as song much was as that?
Black Beauty.
Oh, okay.
I want to re-listen so I can hear it and feel like your inspiration through it.
That's so cool. I love taking inspiration from other music. That's how we got our name for Daydream Believers from the Monkees.
Yeah.
A great song. I love what music can do.
Thank you for knowing the song.
Thank you.
Yes, we love when people actually know the song. We're like, yes.
A surprisingly little amount of people recognize the title.
Yeah, or like they don't click until like one of us awkwardly sing it. Yeah. And they're like, oh, yeah, that song.
Cheer up, Sleepy Jean.
Yeah, that's it.
Pretty much all the songs, are you writing them? Or is it like a little bit of a collaboration or others get involved?
Yeah, majority, particularly on this album, like I'll come up with the basic like chord structure and the lyrics for the song and be like, hey guys, I got a song, and we'll jam it out. And from there, like things may change, the tempo may change, the rhythms may change. And obviously I'll let each band member like kind of come up with their own part, whether that be a beat or a bass line, or Lucky's really good at coming up with those really fun riffs, guitar riffs that go over everything. It is collaborative, and we're trying to leaning towards more collaborative, but I kind of, start it with, this is the basic like bare bones structure of the song, let's build it from here.
Well, like listening through the collection of the new album earlier, and we were just saying like it's just got such a different, unique sound. Yes. And like your voice as well, like is there artists like where do you grasp your inspiration from? Like, is Lana Del Rey someone that you get inspired from? Because we were trying to pick who you would be inspired by. And we're like, maybe Angus and Julia Stone. Like, the way your voice sounds is very, like, a mixture of both their voices in one. It's really cool.
I know. It's really wonderful.
Yeah. It's something I never really realized until, I guess, recently, when people have been, such as yourselves, sending beautiful feedback back to me, being like, wow, your voice is so unique, blah, blah, blah. Because I'm just like, really? I just hear it as it is. But yeah, in terms of inspirations, I feel like there are so many inspirations, it's hard to pinpoint. Obviously, Lana Del Rey has been a massive one. Like, I've been listening to Lana since, like, Born to Die came out. So years and years, like, I've grown up listening to her. But I also, when I was younger, used to play in a lot of, like, jazz and swing bands. So I used to listen to, like, Ella Fitzgerald.
I love that.
I can so see that influence now.
Yes.
Yeah, like it's all making a bit more sense. I really like that.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And then I even like went through a weird like pop punk phase and loved like Good Charlotte, My Chemical Romance. Like,
yes, all of that's those my girl.
Yeah. Melodies and
wonderful. Yeah.
And then, yeah, there's literally, yeah, and then I also love, like, hyper-pop kind of stuff. Like, I've been listening to heaps of, like, Ray, that's her name. She's, Ray? Like, a UK artist. Yeah. Ooh.
Okay, I feel like I've heard of her. I'm not sure.
Yeah, her single, Escapism, like, kind of blew up on TikTok and everything, like,
okay.
I think, like, a month or two ago. Ray, beautiful. I've been listening to, like, lots of Spanish music as well, like Rosalia and Carly Uchis. Carly Uchis is one I get a lot. You're like, oh, you sound like Carly Uchis. And I'm like, really? That is the best thing that could happen to me.
I need to go listen to again. I know. So I can work it out. Oh, I love that.
There's a few songs that I absolutely adore, and I would really love to know what they're about. So the song Dreamcatcher, can you talk us through that one?
Yes, absolutely. So it's a bit of a funny one. I was living in Kalamunda, which is where we're all from at the time, at my parents' house, and I was just living this life that feels so crazy to think back on now, where I was just like working full time at Worths. I was dating this guy, and like that was kind of just how I expected my life to kind of pan out. Like I kind of would stay in this little bubble. And then I had like this week of chaos where I like broke up with my partner, and then like decided I need to like quit my job, and I was going to go to uni, and I was going to leave Kalamunda, and like all this stuff happened like within a week. I had like broken up, quit my job, moved out of home, enrolled in uni, and just like this chaos. And it kind of, I guess, yeah, the song juxtaposes that kind of chaos, but like, I don't know, kind of encapsulates how I was feeling at the time, where I was just like, I need to get out of here. But I think the most interesting thing about that song is that like the bare bones of it, like the guitar riff and the melody and all that, used to be a different song that was actually a love song about this particular partner that I broke up with.
Oh, that is so interesting.
So after we broke up, I was just like, I need to rewrite this, give me a second. And then yeah, it kind of became a sad song.
You haven't happened to watch The Wedding Singer by any chance, have you?
Oh, I love The Wedding Singer.
Because you just did, like, a Robbie. Like, it's, like, obviously very different than, like, starting the song, like, I want to die. Like, like how he redoes the song after him and Linda break up. But, like, he, like, put the two together. But you kind of did the same. That's so cool.
That's funny. I didn't even make that connection, but that is great. That's a good comparison. I love that movie.
That's such a cool idea, though, to keep the same riff and, like to keep the whole backing of it to kind of... I feel like that's what makes the song even more special, because you know, like, the real, it's a true, like, story, not only for the story of the song and its evolution of the song, but, like, of your life as well. It's really cool.
Yeah, it's really good that you didn't just leave the song, like, abandon it. Yeah. I thought, you know what, I'm closing that off. I'm not even going to look at it. You repurposed it to suit where you are now.
And I'm glad you did, because I love that. Like, that song is
really wonderful.
And it's easy to, like, to start singing along to it as well. Like, I found it very easy to pick up and listen to it, enjoy it from the first listen. You know how some songs you have to, like, when you've never heard a song before, it takes a few times for you to, like, really grasp.
Yeah.
And this song really was like straight away. Yeah, you get into it straight away. I'm
finding that with all of Dolce Boy's music.
Oh, thank
you. It's just really easy to be like, I like this.
Yeah, and easy to listen to.
Yeah.
Your voice, like, I think it's like the smoothness of your tone and your voice, as well as like the music in the background. Like, the boys clearly do a really good job, because like it sounds so, it's just so easy to listen to. And I really appreciate how the backing kind of flows with your voice. I don't know how to explain the word, like what I'm trying to explain, but it just perfectly sits.
I understand where you're coming from, because it's something that we like mindfully try and incorporate a lot. It's something that we've spent, because we've been doing this for a couple of years now, but like something that we've really been mindful of, to like, okay, this part with the singing, we want to emphasize that, we got to tone everything else down. And I think, like, it's been really good. All the boys, like, they've had a background in playing in orchestras and playing in, like, big bands and whatnot. And they kind of understand that, like, when one instrument or one voice or whatever needs to shine, you kind of need to just, you know, step back and be like, okay, I just need to do what I need to do. And I find that's, it's kind of rare to find people that can do that. But I'm super lucky. super lucky, super blessed that they don't want to steal the spotlight at all times.
Yeah. And it's, I found the same with you as well. Like, there's definitely parts within songs that you don't steal the spotlight either, and you get give them their individual time to shine, which is beautiful that you all do that for each other. That's awesome. White Sneakers? Is that what it's called? The one
new
that
New White Sneakers?
Yeah, New White Sneakers. Talk us through that, because was that one of the first kind of things you guys put out there, and you guys released that yourselves, didn't you?
Yeah, so that song is so old. I remember, like, writing that in school, like, sitting at an old piano in one of the practice rooms. That song's really weird. Like, I often write songs and I don't, like, I'm not consciously thinking I'm writing about this particular thing. I kind of just write. So I think that song's not really about one particular thing or one particular person. I guess it's kind of just that feeling of, like, I love someone. I don't really know if this is right for me, but they're what I have and I love them. And kind of being without them is really painful, but being with them isn't that great either. So it's kind of like that weird middle ground of being
that,
like,
is such an interesting concept. You can really apply that to anyone in your life, especially like a family member.
Yeah.
You know, the theme, like, not the theme, sorry, the saying, like, you can't choose your family. So it's like you love that person, you want them to be in your life, but they kind of drive you nuts. So it's a really interesting concept. I really like that.
Yeah. And I think, like, when I try and reflect on it and be like, exactly what this is about, I don't think it's necessarily about partners. It's more so, I think, about, like, the friends and the friendship groups I had in school.
Yeah, okay.
Where it's kind of like, I don't know, just reflecting on all that. And, like, it's a similar situation when you're in school, right? Because you're kind of stuck with the same group of people and you have to be friends with them to kind of survive so you're not alone.
Limited by our surroundings, especially in school. Like, your capacity to make friends is kind of limited to who's with you every single day at school, to be fair. Yeah. So it's kind of like, if they're, like, bothering me, it's like, how do I still have to sort of see them every day, so I have to just
be there in all your classes. And then when school finishes, they're, like, the kind of people that you just don't hear from again.
Yeah, which is exactly what has happened. But whilst this song, I feel like it's very, I don't know, it feels very high school to me because that's when I wrote it. So somewhat cringy to some degree, but also I'm also like I can find elements of it that still, because it's kind of vague, I'm like, it still relates to me in current days, current situations. So I don't know, I still like playing it, and I still,
do you,
I'm
still
proud
play
that
it
we're
at
that.
Your gigs? Yeah, do you play it live?
Yeah. Yeah, we try and play it live because it's one of those songs that everyone just seems to love, and if we don't play it, they get upset. So
you got to give the people what they want.
Exactly.
Yeah, we've had gigs where we've, like, finished the set and everyone's like, where's New White Sneakers? And we're like, oh, all right, we'll play it.
Encore!
Encore!
I think that's so special about music, though, sometimes. Like, for you, that might have been something that, like, you thought was not, like, your greatest work or, like, was very cringy, like you said. But, like, to the person that's listened to that, and they probably are in high school, where maybe the first time they listened to it, they were a bit younger, it still feels so fresh and so relatable. Like,
yeah.
And that will always happen for some type of generation throughout the rest of your life as well, which is pretty cool. So you're probably going to always have people screaming that.
Like, I know.
Yeah.
You're always going to have people asking for it.
Which I'm not mad about. I love it. Yeah, and then the only other thing, like, we've talked about this heaps with the band, is maybe re-recording it, because my dad helped us record it, because we did it at his house, and it was literally, like, he's got a studio, like, a proper studio and everything set up, but it's, like, an old Windows PC that runs, like, XP, and it's, like, the version of, like, I wouldn't even know what version of Pro Tools it is, it's so old, so it's just, like, everything had to be one take. We couldn't make any mistakes. Like, usually when you record in a studio, like, you can kind of do a couple takes, like, say it's the drums or guitars or even vocals, you can do a couple takes and then kind of slice them together based on what sections sound best. Whereas this, it was like, we don't have the technology to do that. You have to do one full take of the whole song that sounds perfect, because that's what's getting uploaded. So yeah, the quality of that song always annoyed me. And then there was also, like, pitching it to radio stations and whatnot once we'd released it. And I just remember, I think it was, like, Declan Byrne from Triple J being like, we can't play this. The quality's not good enough for radio.
Oh, no way!
We were like, okay, that's
fine.
How
devastating.
That's devastating. But yeah, then rewrite it then.
Yeah, most definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, re-record it. Even like it's coming up to its 5th anniversary this year, so maybe we can do like an anniversary edition.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. I'd be keen. That'd be so cool. You can make like a little like single cover and everything with like little fan. I see this for you guys. It's so cool. Another song I really, really enjoyed when I was listening to it was Talking with the Sun.
Yes.
I really enjoyed listening to that. Like that was something about it sounded familiar, but at the same time just very, it felt like actually did remind me of the feeling, like the type of music I would listen to in high school, and like that feeling I would feel of summer in high school. I don't know why, but talk us through that song and like how you came up with that concept of that song.
So I went through like this weird phase where I really wanted to like challenge us musically and have like different tempos and different like slowdowns, and that song was very much that. And I also really love West Coast by Lana Del Rey, which has a similar like kind of like faster verses and then that slowdown in the chorus. So taking all of that on board, I kind of just like that song is very much about the band. Like it was very much, we went through this summer of just hanging out heaps and just being by the poolside, and like it was just the most amazing, blissful, happy time like of my life. That sounds really sad. I'm sure there'll be more happy.
Beautiful. No, but, that's wonderful.
Like we were just, yeah, it was just so much fun. Just being with your friends and having fun during the summer. And then I don't know, I always overanalyze everything, and I kind of had just like this feeling that like, oh, this is like all too good to be true. Like this is all going to end pretty soon. Like as soon as summer's over. So I guess when that like slow down into the chorus, I kind of tried to like capture that, like please don't say this has all just been a dream, because it's kind of like that.
It's Dolce Blue. It's very Dolce,
yeah,
Blue.
It's Dolce Blue. Blue. Yeah. It's just that, yeah, that real like sinking feeling of, oh, this is all going to end, or this is just, there's something sus about this. It's too good.
That feeling really well. Yeah.
Yeah. So just putting those things together in a way that sounded nice, I guess, was the whole, that's the song.
When we received the email to interview you, it did say that you had experienced loss and you use that as inspiration for your songs. Tell us more about that if you feel comfortable.
Yeah, only if you feel comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah, so I've been saying it all the live shows as well. Like the way I've described this album is like sweet melancholy. So it's like all the songs on the album, I would say, kind of fit within that realm of being sweet with this underlying melancholic feeling, except for one song on the album, and that's Goodbyes, which I'm not sure if you've had a chance to give it a listen. And that kind of expands on that loss. So this happened years and years ago. My grandmother died, my Oma, she's German, she died of cancer. And it was a really hard time. I was like 13 at the time, so I was like, why has this happened? This is the worst thing that could happen. And yeah, it really affected me for a long time. But I guess like I hadn't really thought about it much. And it was during COVID, where I guess I had more time to like reflect and be sad, that I kind of was going through all those emotions again and decided to write this song Goodbyes, which kind of, I feel like the first verse kind of unpacks all that like grief of losing my grandmother, and then just has a chorus that is also sad. And then the second verse was kind of like how I'm kind of stuck in this COVID time and reliving all this stuff, and like everything just seems to be going to shit again and I'm not sure why.
Did it help you to write it? Did you get like a sense of relief or maybe even some confirmation or closure with yourself once you had written it?
Yeah, I think definitely like writing it did help, but it was kind of one of those songs that I wrote and then it sat on the shelf for a while.
Right.
I think we'd only played it once live maybe, and it kind of just sat on the shelf. I feel like when we actually were putting the album track listing together and I was like, hey guys, I really want to put this song on the album, and we started recording it properly and going in and doing all these parts, and then I remember like listening back to it once it, like the first mix had come through, and I was like, oh shit, this is huge. This is crazy. I feel like that was a really good feeling, like that.
Yeah.
Kind of tied it off for me. It was like, all right.
Yeah.
That's good.
Well, it's so, wonderful that you were able to be so vulnerable in your music, and it's music like that that's gonna help other people who go through a similar situation. So it's always beautiful to release music like that, because it means you know you are going to help someone to perhaps realize their feelings and help them move on as well, or at least feel related to, because obviously there are so many people in the world that have experienced grief. So it's really great that you were able to be that vulnerable.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No, it's beautiful that you have a space to like put that out there as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like that's why music is so special to me, because a lot of the time I find it really hard to articulate what is going on inside my head or what I'm thinking and what I'm feeling. And I feel like music has always just been a great outlet for that. And like I said, like a lot of the time I end up writing these songs and I'm just like, I don't know what this is about. And it's not until later I'm listening back and I'm like, oh, that's what's happening. And yeah, I guess music has always just been a good outlet for me to be able to express how I'm feeling better than I could put usually to just in words or talking to someone. So
that's beautiful. No,
that is beautiful,
and that's cool that you were able to do that. Like, when, like, don't mind me asking, you don't have to answer obviously, but like in COVID times, like how old were you at that point in time?
Good question. 2020, I would have been 20 turning 21, so yeah, like 21.
That's still such a like even though that happened to you when you were 13, it's still such a young age for you to process that. Like, some people still haven't processed things that happened to them when they were like 13 and they're in their 50s right now.
Yeah.
And they haven't had an outlet like that. So it's so beautiful that like you're able to, you found that time to use that time to reflect and to do that in that time. And to make art that like is going to touch people forever. You also say this thing that's I really like, and I love that you're kind of, I'm terrified of cats, but I love the fact that your cat is so part of like your brand. Yes. About your cat having like this, like you speculate that the cat has the similar insecurities as you.
Yeah,
like,
all right, so have you seen that meme and it's like the Joker on the stairs like this, and then next to it's like photoshopped like a little cat and it's also doing the same thing, and it's like your cat may have the same mental problems as you.
Ooh,
I guess that's like, that is something that I feel like was the catalyst for this. But essentially, like, I don't know, I feel like it's a cat person thing where they're just always like singing about their cats, because I sing to my cats every day. They're sick of me. But this song, I don't know, this was a bit more of a conscious, like, not just classic, you're a little boy with little feet.
Oh, that's how I speak to my dog as well. I'm like, oh, Presley, my little Christmas poop. And I'm like, it's not even Christmas. Why do I call him that? Like,
why? Yeah, I do exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
It wasn't, yeah, I feel like this was more of a conscious, like, me reflecting, I don't know, kind of all the insecurities and all the, like, I don't know, all the thoughts I have that I feel like I see reflected in my cat. So how, I don't know, he is the most scared little boy I have ever met. Aww. And he's just, he won't go outside. He always wants to be around his mom, all of this kind of stuff. And then I'm like, oh, wait.
Oh my God, that is like me too, this? Yeah.
Did he get this from me?
And you're like, wait a minute, so, I'm scared of outside. I want to be around my mom.
Dude, you've really expanded my mind, because I'm looking at Presley, my little dog, and he is like a spitting image of me in terms of personality. Like, anxious attachment style, but also, like, avoidant as well. And then, literally, I'm pretty certain if he was human, he'd have ADHD like me as well. Like, it's pretty, like...
So, yeah, I wrote a song about that.
Because... which one? Which one is it?
Just because I wanted... Yeah, it's Valentino.
Oh, is that your cat's name?
Yeah, that's his name. His name's Valentino.
I really like that as well. I was going to ask you about that one before, and I'm like, oh, maybe I'll start talking with the son instead. But now I'm like, tell us about Valentino.
Ooh. Oh, he's a beautiful boy. yeah, and it's been funny because every gig I'm like, oh, this is about my cat, Valentino. And then I'm like, hold up. It's actually not. It's not about him. It's about me. But
yeah,
we're the same person now, so it's both of us. I really loved that release. I think that was my favorite single we put out from the album, because everything was Valentino themed. Like, I made Valentino shirts, Valentino candles. All the promo could just be photos of him. Yeah. And like, we got these really cute press shots done of all four of us, and I'm just like holding him like a baby.
Oh my god, how gorgeous.
I love it. It's like my wallpaper for everything, like my computer, my phone, because I absolutely am obsessed with it.
Oh my god,
yeah,
so sweet. Oh, I miss my little Zeus. I had a cat growing up, and he passed away in 2020.
Sorry to hear.
No, it was hard, and I was like 9 months pregnant when he died. So I was the emotions that I had, I can't even tell you. I nearly named my son Zeus for can you imagine? Oh my god. I didn't, but it was a sad time. So make me nice here, Zeusy. You knew a kid called Zeus would have, like, just be like, I'm almighty. That's really wonderful. I love all the descriptions of your song, the inspirations. They're real and beautiful and vulnerable, and it's clear that you're very talented. We love your voice. It is very unique. I love it. Yeah. Just we love the band.
Thank you so much.
And you can tell you really like have a passion for what you do, and like it seems like tell me if I'm wrong, but it seems like it comes very naturally to you and very easily to you.
I feel like it does when I am feeling it, if that makes sense. I think that's why this album did take like 2 years to just record and put together, was because it was really hard to kind of, like, I don't know, just with studying and working and all that, it was really hard to have that creative energy and the time to, I don't know, for it to come together nicely.
Of course.
What are you studying?
So I was studying arts management at the West Australian Academy of Performing Arts. So,
very nice. That's cool.
Arts and music world.
Yeah, but when you study, it's just a lot of, like, mental energy, and I can assume, like, coming back home, it's, like, not really wanting to use that mental energy to then, like, have even more mental energy to write. So,
yeah, and I was working in, like, marketing and helping just, like, other bands with, like, PR and label work. So there was just, it wasn't a lot of free time to work on my own music, but,
it's gotta pay the bills somehow. You're spreading yourself so thin between so many different things in your life, and this how I would have reacted. It I don't know if this happened to you, but I feel like I would have been like frustrated with it, because I would have wanted to work on my music, but you kind of have to dedicate yourself to the other things. Did you find that kind of resistance with yourself?
I definitely found that resistance, and then I also I don't know, you just have doubts as an artist too. I think you're like, oh, this isn't really, like, if you're not getting that positive, like, feedback, and you can't see any growth or anything really happening, you're kind of like, why am I putting so much energy into this when it's like nothing, I can't see anything coming back, like, what is the point? Like, I went through a lot of that.
Yeah, those plateau moments are so hard, but they're the moments that you just have to keep, like,
you have to ride through them.
Ride through them.
Which is exactly what we had to do. It's just like, oh, this is such a pain, but then I was like, oh, but I really want to do this for me. And I guess that's what the album kind of like turned out in the end. And I was super grateful that it did. It was like, oh, we're doing this for ourselves. Like, at the end of the day, if no one listens to it, we're going to listen to it. This is, something we're proud of.
That's the exact way we've thought about the podcast as well. It's like, even if no one ever jumped on, it's like, this is for us to just like have fun with.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, enjoy.
I love the fact that, and you've mentioned it a few times, but, like, the bond you clearly have with the guys in the group, it's really beautiful to see, because it's like, I'm a girl that has three guy best friends, and I know how much I love them and how much I appreciate them, and, like, how much fun we can all have together, and to all be on the same path for as long as you can is so, like, it's such a nice feeling. And to see you have that bond with them, and to be able to, like, in moments like that plateau moment, I suppose, like, that bond you would have with the band is what gets you through those plateaus. It would be really special.
Yeah, it definitely is. And especially, like, we would have those conversations where I would just be like, I don't know why we're doing this. Like, this is so much work. And they're like, what can we do to help? Like, just you take some time. Like, we can pick up.
Oh, that's so gorgeous.
I was like, oh. Yeah, they were super supportive. So I cannot complain.
Well, no, that's really lovely. Very lovely. I bet you their ears are burning right now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Probably.
That's really awesome.
Okay. One of our favorite questions to ask our guests is to name three songs that you have a connection to and why.
Okay.
Could you please list your first song for us?
This was a really hard one because when I saw this question come through, I've been thinking about it ever since I saw it.
A lot of people have a hard time with it and we love it.
Yes, we really do.
I've been thinking about it a lot. Do you want a description why or you just want the songs?
No, we want the nitty gritty, like the time I cried on my bed when I was eight because my parents said this. Like, we want everything. Yes,
my parents divorced and I lay in bed crying and this was the song I was listening to. Yes, that's literally what we want.
That's what we want because that's how we talk to each other. So tell us.
Okay. This is really hard because I'm obsessed with Lana Del Rey's album Ultraviolence and I was like, I have to choose a song off of this. And I was like, which one is my favorite song? And I think Pretty When You Cry is going to be my first song.
Oh.
So that's off that album. And I just remember listening to it and I had no reason to be upset and depressed, but I listened to it and afterwards I was like, I feel all of this pain and I just want to cry.
Interesting.
And I think that's very, like, I think that's a real talent when you can make someone feel emotions that then themselves, like, not that you can't relate to it, but, like, you take it on. You're like, wow, that you just made me feel something that I didn't know I was going to feel by listening to this, and now I am crying. Just a very powerful song. I am obsessed. And when she came to Australia in 2018, I went and saw her at all three of her shows. And she played it in every show. And so I was just sick. It was incredible. The best live song I had seen. So
wow. That's awesome.
That is amazing.
That is my first one.
I love that.
I really like that. There's something about, even if it's not the lyrics sometimes it's the instrumental that, it's like a train coming at you and hitting you right in the heart. And it just gives you this sense of massive emotion. So I understand what you mean, like, you weren't exactly relating to it. You didn't know how it applied to you, but you felt the emotions.
Yeah, that's like, exactly it. Yeah,
you could about feel the it music all. As well, yeah.
Sometimes I get that from very old music like Frank Sinatra, Andy Williams. When I hear music like that, it makes me teary-eyed, and I don't know why, because all their songs are really beautiful and about love and all of that, but it makes me emotional.
Mm. Yeah, so I know just exactly the feeling what you mean. That comes with it. Yeah absolutely. All right, another song.
Ooh.
I think I'm going to go with Celeste, Not Your Muse. Now, that only came out a couple of years ago, but it just feels like such an anthem, like such a, it's not like upbeat. It's not that huge. It's just like her voice and a guitar essentially. And it kind of builds and swells as like the music grows and swells as her voice does. And narrative does. And just the whole message behind it is that, like, I might be kind to you, like, we might have this connection, but I'm not your muse, like, I'm just a person. Right. And the way she just projects that, and I don't know, the feeling of her just, like, yelling it out, I'm like, this is beautiful, this hits me, this pierces me.
That's so wonderful. That would be an anthem, because even that message itself is very, very, like, relatable to, I think, a lot of situations. And and a lot of women, to be honest, like,
most definitely.
I listen to so many female artists, so all of these are going to be female artists. And then the final song, I'm kind of biased to this, so one of my good friends Simone, who we met in uni together, she came to me one day and was like, I want to sing, like, can we write some songs together? And I was like, absolutely. So we started this thing like every Wednesday after class, we finished early. So she'd come over to mine and we'd just start writing songs. Like, she was very good lyricist, had an amazing voice. Like, she's an incredible singer. So I would just be like, just sing your melodies, sing your words, and I'll come up with the backing for them. So we recorded all these demos and last year she turned them all into an album. So she now lives in Melbourne.
Oh,
so on the other side of Australia, but she released this album And I remember before she had put it out, she sent me all the tracks to listen to before they were being released. And there's one song called Daughter, which like I'm not going to say what it's about because I don't know if she's I don't want to say her story, but
yeah, of course.
Just knowing her as well as I do and knowing her life as well as I do, I'm just like, oh my God, I know exactly what this is about. And just hearing it all come together with the production and everything, I remember I was like driving to my parents' house in the hills. So I was like driving up these like long, dark, winding roads, listening to it in my speaker, like full ball in my car. And this song came on and I just started like uncontrollably crying. I was just like, oh my God. Like, I'm so proud of you and this is so sad. Like,
yeah. So. Oh, I want to listen to that. What's her, like, does she have Spotify?
Yeah, she does. It's under Simone Strauss.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, can we listen to, like, let's give it a Strauss, like Straus.
Simone would be with an E.
Yeah, double S.
Oh, yeah. Any song about parents or being a child of a parent or having a child is like,
yeah, it will make us
make us cry.
It's really sad though. Yeah, that's
oh, that's I love it.
Yeah. The tissues.
I live in the melancholy. Yeah. I live it. That's where I thrive.
Me too.
And I double and I mutate.
Oh, I love that. Oh, that's so awesome.
That's so good.
That's really beautiful.
That's so cool that you get to be a part of that as well. And the fact that, like... Can I say, like, the fact of you being able to, like, listen to someone else's vision, listen to their lyrics, listen to, like, the way that they put something out and their voice, and for you to, like, be able to work out, like, you being like, I'll take care of the backing of that, like, that is really cool. Like, that's a gift.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Like, that is really, really cool. Like, to me, I would love to be able to... like have that ability to just be able to hear a sound and kind of be like, okay, I think this will work with that or that will work with this. So awesome stuff.
I think it's just something that I'm super lucky that I've just grown up like always playing music, and like I don't have any like technical ability in music. Like if I had to write out stuff, I couldn't do that. But like in terms of just like listening to it, I can be like, oh yeah, this is this, and but I couldn't tell you the technical terms. But I'm very glad that I have grown up like that and I can, I don't know, play music with other people and make cool things. I don't know.
You can do, as the cool kids say, vibe with the others.
Vibe. Yes.
Yeah, vibe with the others.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. Oh, that's so awesome. Well, one of the questions we ask all of our guests, and usually the final question we ask our guests, is if you could speak to your childhood self, what is something you would like to say to them?
That is a really good question, particularly because I feel like I am still a child. I feel like I still have so much growing up to do. Mm-hmm.
I relate to you.
I think the biggest thing would be is just like, have a little bit of confidence, even if it's fake confidence. Like, don't be afraid to speak up for yourself and don't be afraid to ask for things if you want them. Like, the amount of opportunities I'm sure I missed, not that I regret it, but by just not asking and being direct with what I wanted. So just be a bit more confident and speak up for myself.
That's really, really important. And
so
it's
important.
Actually a topic we were talking about before we jumped onto the podcast.
I know, just earlier today.
Yeah, we were talking about that today. We were just saying how, like, sometimes it can feel like we want to ask for what we want, like, we need in, like, life or in a relationship or with friends or even in business, for example, or in our career. But sometimes there's just, like, this feeling we get that, like, we're not allowed, like, we're overstepping a boundary if we ask for that.
Yeah.
And we're comparing it to Mr. Big from Sex and the City. Yes. But, like... we're just saying, like, we can't ask for what we want because there's, like, this undertone of, like we're a girl, we can't do that. Not that we're, but, like, it's like this.
Yeah.
It's, like, this conditioning that we've had growing up that, like, oh, we're not supposed to, like, be the ones asking for what we want. Like, that's not something we're allowed to do. And how we're trying to break that conditioning, and that we have been breaking that conditioning as of recently. But, like, how liberating it is when you finally start asking for what you want and you're more direct with what you're wanting.
That's exactly right.
And realizing, like, oh, I'm allowed to do this. I'm allowed to own this feeling. I'm allowed to have people say yes to me, which is crazy. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Isn't it crazy? Yeah. Like, what you said, the opportunities that can come your way when you just ask for what you want and not care what the other person's response is going to be, really. Like, they can say no, but absolutely. That doesn't mean that it was wrong of me to ask.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's exactly like what I keep telling myself. Like, what's the worst that can happen? They either don't respond at all, or they respond say no, and it's like, all right, cool, keep moving on. Like,
yeah, it's no reflection on the person that asked. It's just like, it's just what it is.
Like, yeah.
It's
not,
yeah.
And I think that's the biggest thing that always would hold me back, at least, is that I was worried like how I would be perceived if I was asking for things. It's like, oh, you're too pushy, too demanding, whatever. Yeah. But actually, no, I'm just asking.
Yeah, just asking. I'm just asking. Yeah. I'm curious. Why can't I ask? Yeah, I feel like it's a really nice thing. I think maybe I'm in like a full feminist mode because we watched Barbie the other night. But like, yeah, it was really good. But it's okay that we can do that. It's okay that we can be perceived as, it's okay if other people want to perceive us as too much, but we know that we're not.
Yeah.
Or like,
yeah.
It's really cool.
Yeah, exactly.
Veronica, I really loved everything that you had to say today.
Yeah, oh, likewise. Really, thank you so much.
Yeah.
You two really hyped me up. You said so many nice things, and I am filled with awesome, warm fuzzies. So thank you.
We meant it. We are 100% truthful. We wouldn't just say it for the sake of saying it.
No, your voice is insane. Like, insane.
Oh, thank you.
And your bandmates, Dolce Blue in general, just make beautiful music.
Mm.
And
thank you so much.
You come across as someone who has a really great head on their shoulders, and it sounds like it was just meant to be, that this is the career that it was meant to be for you, because you just sound naturally talented. Not just your voice, but the way you speak about music and the way you, what's the word I'm after, like, you approach it. Yeah, all truthful stuff. You are wonderful. Yeah.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Thank you.
And I know we just missed your tour in Melbourne because I was overseas, but when you come back, please let us know, because I would like to hear your voice live. Would be like, oh, that would be kinds insane. Of
absolutely.
All kinds of wonderful.
Yeah, I'm currently looking at trying to get a whole band tour over there. So you'll see the full experience, because the ones that we just did over East was just me by myself. So.
Oh, really? Yeah. How come?
Just because he couldn't, like, the guys couldn't get the time off work, and it was kind of expensive. It was kind of like, I'm going to miss out on work and not, like, I'm going to have to pay for all this. So I was like, all right,
I'll just go.
Yeah.
And I was already going to go to Adelaide to work a festival. So I was like, I'll just tack on a couple more flights. And
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm glad that's so brave.
Like,
that
is brave. Yeah.
Yeah, it was honestly, like, I didn't think about it being a big deal. And then everyone's like, oh, wow, you're going by yourself. And I'm like,
yeah,
it'll be fine.
Yeah.
And then I think once I got over there and I was at the shows, I was like, this is kind of weird.
Yeah, holy moly. No,
that would have been so fun though.
Yeah, it was. And like, I feel like all the support acts that came and played with me at each show, they were all beautiful, like the most inviting and lovely people. And I also have just like a couple of friends in each city, so it was great to have an opportunity to catch up with them. And
that's awesome. You know, well, you have another two in Melbourne, so whenever you're here again, you can catch up with us.
Yes.
Yay, that would be so amazing.
Absolutely. Let's do it.
Yay.
Great. I have to come back over now. Yes, booking the flight.
I literally have to listen to your voice live. Like, I can only imagine the atmosphere in the room. Like, I really can. You know when you listen to a singer and you know, like, holy shit, this person sounds insane live.
Yeah.
Like, you have that type of voice.
Yeah.
So
thank you.
We really can't wait for that. Okay, Veronica, it was so lovely talking to you, and we can't wait to talk with you again.
Yes, likewise. I can't wait to see you in Melbourne.
Yay. Oh, we cannot wait. Yes.
Talk about Sweet Melancholy.
Sweet Melancholy, Dolce Blue.
She's so, so lovely.
She was really great to get to know.
Yeah, and just such a beautiful person. You can tell that she's just got a really grounded headspace and just enjoying the ride of her life at the moment and being part of the band. And I love the creativity. I love the way that everything flows.
I know, and the fact that they're basically School of Rock.
Yes. So cute.
They went to Battle of the Bands and they came second. Like, that's amazing.
That's insane. It's so cool.
And then I embarrassed myself because I was like, is your teacher Black Jack? I'm like, oh, shit, Jack Black.
Blackjack? Anyone Blackjack?
Just so you know, throughout the rest of the interview, in my head, I was like, Blackjack L, you idiot! Why'd you say that?
Why did you say that? Duh! Doi!
Yes.
Such a sweetie, though. Mm. I really, really think that you guys should give the
episode to listen. Obviously, you're listening to it now. Yes. But you should also really give them a listen.
You really need to give them a listen. They've got a very awesome sound.
Awesome sound. Cool catalog. Give it a go. Plus, the names are just worth listening to in general. Yeah, they are. The names.
I love it.
Dolce Blue.
Dolce Blue. I really like it.
Great choices.
It sounds like something you'd hear from the 80s, I reckon.
Dolce Blue. I feel like that too. I also just, it reminds me, I guess because like she mentioned, Dolce is like in Italian, like for the desserts and the sweets. But like it just reminds me of any time I've ordered like a Dolce like drink or like a Dolce like chocolate. You know what I mean?
Don't know
like,
what that is.
So many things say Dolce on them.
Oh.
Like, as in you're ordering something like, yes, I'll have the Dolce, blah, blah, blah.
I don't think I've ever ordered anything that has Dolce.
Oh.
Except for Dolce and Cabana.
Did you realize? What does Cabana mean?
It's
Gabbana.
Gabbana.
Cabana. I was like, salami and Dolce.
Yeah, I know.
Maybe it is Dolce and Cabana, but they say
Dolce and Cabana.
Cindy and Madonna.
I thought it was Fendi. Fendi and Madonna. Is it not Fendi?
I thought it was Cindy and Madonna, like a Cindy Lauper Madonna.
Oh, I always thought it was Fendi for the brand. Because it was Dolce and Cabana. But do not trust me on this. Do not trust me. I am terrible at this.
I was the one that just said Cabana. Okay.
So did I.
Cindy and Madonna.
I need to clarify. I don't own anything that's Dolce and Cabana. I can't stop saying Cabana.
Is it Fergalicious? What song is that again?
That's My Humps.
Oh, My Humps. Okay. Hello. Oh, no, you are correct. Fendi. Oh, my God. It's not Madonna.
Oh, what is it?
It's Fendi and that Donna.
What the hell's that?
I love that we get to do this and we get to meet new people.
Me too.
Get to listen to new music and listen to songs that we wouldn't usually just be able to find because that's the beauty of Spotify and the beauty of
of looking through being different playlists. A musician
now, I think, as well. Like, people that get to be on different playlists and you get to find them that way or listen to them through our podcast. Like, I feel like there's a lot of awesome, awesome bands out there, especially in Australia, and you guys have to be checking them out because
most definitely
and we've really enjoyed finding these.
Exactly. And just know that when Dolce Blue are in Melbourne, we will be there.
Yes.
Oh yeah, baby. All right, thank you so much for listening. Every song that we have spoken about in every episode will be in our Spotify playlist.
Until next time.
Okay, bye-bye now. Bye-bye.